You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title: The Empowerment of the Holy Spirit. How many times do we not preach and teach about empowerment? Empowerment strengthens us and helps us navigate through challenges and difficult situations. Empowerment provides us with that extra knowledge that gives us an edge over others, granting us favor. Empowerment offers an additional layer of protection, helping us to recover from adverse situations. The most important aspect of empowerment is the knowledge that comes from the gift of Christ. This is the gift that he promised to give, as recorded in John chapter 14. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17, King James Version. The Comforter from the Father is the Comforter who heals, the Comforter who helps us rise again. This Comforter shows us the outstretched hand of the Father, helping us get back up. The Holy Spirit is the vessel that imparts the knowledge and power that the Father, YHWH, our God, desires to bestow upon us so that we can give him honor and glory, doing his work and fulfilling his will. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, King James Version. We have been learning about the power of the Holy Spirit in our Bible studies over the past months in Sunday school, and during the past years through sermons on the power and strength of the Word of God in our lives, expressed through the fruit and gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you have been listening and participating in Sunday school, Bible studies, and church services, you know exactly what we are talking about. So, are we merely saying hallelujah and amen at this moment and then moving on? Or is there more to say? Indeed, there is always more to say. The Holy Spirit, as the channel and vessel of God, has much more to impart to us. God's knowledge is never ending and will continue to surprise and astonish us day after day. The empowerment is available to all who wish to follow Christ as their Lord and Savior, as we can read in Acts chapter 10. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. Peter asked, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they?" He directed that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited Peter to stay for several days. Acts chapter 10, verse 45 to 48, Common English Bible. Here we also see a crucial point that is often disputed by some churches. Some argue that one must be baptized before receiving the Holy Spirit. But in verse 47, it is clear that there were people present who had not been baptized before receiving the Holy Spirit. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Or in other words, how can you receive the Holy Spirit? First, you must be a believer in Jesus Christ. Peter's words on the day of Pentecost about the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit are preceded by this in Acts chapter 2. And Peter answered them, "Repent, change your views and purpose, to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Amplified Bible. Does this contradict the previous verse? Here it says that we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ first. Yes, indeed, it does say that. It tells us that we need to be fully immersed in Jesus Christ, with His living water flowing over us completely, to be released from our sins for eternity. This scripture instructs us that we cannot simply dip our toes in the sea. We need to be fully submerged in Jesus. Following Jesus is not a pick-and-choose situation. We cannot be submerged by Jesus and then step out of the flow of living water as soon as we leave the church. Being a new Christian gives an urge to know more, to delve deeper into the Word, and to go deeper into that living water. Being a mature Christian gives that same urge. Being a pastor, minister, or teacher creates an urge to know more, to go deeper into the Word, and to immerse oneself in that living water. I am sure you understand. Whenever we have truly tasted the living water of Christ, whenever we have received some of that empowerment knowledge, there is nothing better than to know and receive more. Luke chapter 24 says, He told them, "This is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to 49, New International Version, 1984. You will be given, clothed, and covered with the power from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. The first and foremost goal of this power from on high is the spreading of the gospel. But my dear friends, how could it be any different? When you are submerged in that living water, it will drip off you as you talk to others. You cannot walk around sealed in a water balloon. No, you leave a trail. You touch others with this water. Your hands will soak people, and your words will cleanse them. Peter later in Acts chapter 10 says of Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, King James Version. This close connection between the Holy Spirit and power for ministry is the fundamental purpose of baptism, or anointing, with the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, to receive the Holy Spirit, we must recognize, affirm, and reaffirm that the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God's promise, is not something of the past, but is effective and needed now. Acts chapter 2 confirms, "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts chapter 2, verse 39, King James Version. The promise is for you. You are not dealing with what may be God's will. You are claiming the unfailing promise of God. God's love is true. God's promise is true. God's word is true. And God's empowerment in your life is true. Pray with your newfound knowledge and through the love of Christ, His Holy Spirit. As we heard in the message last week, Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. New International Version, 1984. Are you willing to be honest and persistent in prayer? The disciples were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, King James Version. This occurred before their baptism in the Holy Spirit. How much do you really want this gift of the Holy Spirit? Also, consider the laying on of hands as a possible channel for receiving the gift. In several passages in Acts, hands were laid on those who were seeking to be part of the body of Christ and those who wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. For example, the Samaritans, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Acts chapter 8, verse 17 to 22, King James Version. Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Acts chapter 9, verse 17, King James Version. And to the church of the Ephesians. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Acts chapter 19, verse 6, King James Version. You may want to request this ministry from others, so that as much as you may and will be blessed by this baptism with the Holy Spirit, the greater purpose is your becoming a better servant in ministry to others. Spiritual gifts are given for the upbuilding of the body of believers. They are power tools. As manifestations of the Spirit, they are all supernatural enablers. For example, to speak a word of wisdom, to effectuate healings, to work miracles, to discern various spirits, all for the benefit of others, all for the edification of the church. When the spiritual gifts operate, the Holy Spirit is directly and powerfully present. An incidental purpose of the gifts is to bring about the involvement of all believers. To each one is given, not to a few, such as pastors and teachers, but each person is to be a channel for some particular manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Everyone is to be actively involved, for the Holy Spirit wishes to manifest himself not through a few, but through all. As it says in our statement of faith, we believe that all are called into ministry. Finally, the spiritual gifts, being totally different from natural capacities, serve to honor God. God, not man, receives all the praise and glory. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not just an abstract concept. It is a lived experience for every believer who seeks to follow Christ wholeheartedly. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who not only guides and protects, but also equips us with power to fulfill God's purposes. This power is manifested in spiritual gifts that build up the church and extend God's kingdom on earth. The empowerment is both a privilege and a responsibility, calling each believer to a deeper walk with God and a more active role in His service. As we reflect on the scriptures, it becomes clear that this empowerment is not conditional on our achievements or our merits, but on our willingness to submit to God's will and to be fully immersed in His presence. Whether through the laying on of hands, persistent prayer, or simple faith, the Holy Spirit is available to all who truly seek Him. The promise of the Holy Spirit is as real today as it was on the day of Pentecost, and it is meant for all who are called by God. Let us therefore not be content with just knowing about the Holy Spirit. Let us earnestly desire and seek the fullness of His power in our lives. Let us pray with fervor, asking the Father to fill us with His Spirit, so that we may be effective witnesses for Christ, equipped for every good work. And as we receive, let us remember that the gifts we receive are not for our own glory, but for the glory of God and the building up of His church. May we walk in the fullness of the Spirit, empowered to do His will, until the day we stand before Him, complete in Christ. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.